Let's read together Philemon verses 4 through 7. Now, in these four verses, the Apostle Paul reminds Philemon that he is praying for him and that he is thanking the Lord for the faith and the love that Philemon has shown to all the saints. Philemon verses 4 through 7. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Let's begin our study of this section of Philemon with some background notes. After the salutation and greeting in verses 1 through 3, we have the section of thanksgiving here in verses 4 through 7. Your typical first century letter would have a section of thanksgiving following the greeting, and Paul's letter to Philemon is no exception. So in this section of thanksgiving, the Apostle Paul thanks the Lord for Philemon. Paul is particularly thankful for Philemon's faith and love, which has been expressed toward the saints at Colossae. Remember, the church at Colossae met in Philemon's home. Look back at verse 2. Most likely, the church at Colossae was started during Paul's third missionary journey. In Acts chapter 19, we read that when Paul came to Ephesus on his third missionary journey, he had a daily Bible class in the school of Tyrannus. And we read in verse 10 of Acts 19 that this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. The Asia here, of course, is not the continent of Asia today where Russia and China are located. No, it's rather the province of Asia in the Roman Empire of the first century where Turkey is located today. Most likely, it was during this time, while Paul was teaching in his Bible school at Ephesus during his third missionary journey, that the church at Colossae was founded. Colossae was about 100 miles to the east of Ephesus. Perhaps Philemon and Epaphras, another Christian from Colossae, were in Ephesus for business purposes, and they heard Paul preach and teach and were converted, and then went back to Colossae and started the church in Philemon's home. That's one possible scenario. Paul is now under house arrest in Rome, his first Roman imprisonment, when he writes this letter to Philemon. He is writing back to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, a runaway slave of Philemon's. Onesimus, you remember, had become a Christian through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and Paul was now sending him back to his master with this letter. In verse 5 here, Paul says that he has heard of Philemon's love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. How did Paul hear about this? Well, maybe from Epaphras, who had come to Rome to visit Paul, as we learn from the book of Colossians, but maybe also from Onesimus. Certainly Onesimus, in his unconverted days, would have observed Philemon's character and lifestyle, and it may have been a significant factor in his conversion. You know, this is a great lesson for us, isn't it? Unbelievers are taking notes of our character and lifestyle, and it could become a major factor in their conversion. And a lot more we could say here for background, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number 1, Christians should thank the Lord for the love and faith of fellow believers. Christians should thank the Lord for the love and faith of fellow believers. Verses 4 and 5 once again. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Paul reminds Philemon that he is praying for him and thanking the Lord for him. Notice that Paul does not say he prayed for Philemon once or twice, but he always prayed for him. Paul had a busy prayer life, didn't he? You know, we would probably mention Philemon once or twice in our prayers, but most of the time we'd be praying about our own needs, especially if we were under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard, as Paul was at this time. But Paul is more concerned about others than himself, as we should be. Paul thanks the Lord for Philemon's love and faith, first towards the Lord Jesus, and then towards all the saints. Love and faith for the saints should always be the result of love and faith for the Lord Jesus. If you say you love the Lord Jesus and you have faith in him, then you should automatically show love and faith toward all the saints. After all, the saints are the body of Christ. You can't love the Lord as head without caring for his body. Now, what does it mean to show love and faith toward the saints? We certainly understand the love part, but what about the faith part? What does it mean to show faith toward the saints? It means to trust the saints, put confidence in the saints. Some saints will prove undependable and irresponsible, but not all. And many times we must step out in faith in reference to our fellow believers. You know, it's harder sometimes to show faith toward your fellow believers than it is to show love. Yes, it is true that fellow believers have to prove themselves, but there always comes a point where you must take that step of faith in your fellow believers. We need to give them the benefit of the doubt many times. You know, other believers have put their faith in me. I need to put faith in other believers. Illustration. I remember turning over a youth ministry some years ago to another believer because I was moving away. This believer had proved himself in various ways, but I still had to trust him and show faith in him as I turned over this youth ministry. And he did prove faithful. Let me ask you, is some fellowship or ministry that you're involved in right now suffering because you refuse to let go? You refuse to have faith in your fellow believers? You know, in this passage, I think Paul may be hinting to Philemon that he should be willing to show faith towards Onesimus. Remember, Onesimus is coming home as a new believer in Christ. Paul is thanking the Lord for the love and faith Philemon has shown to the saints and will show to Onesimus. In any case, do you see the teaching here? Christians should thank the Lord for the love and faith of fellow believers. Doctrinal point number two. Christians should pray to the Lord for the love and faith of fellow believers. Christians should pray to the Lord for the love and faith of fellow believers. Verses 6 and 7. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Paul not only thanks the Lord for Philemon's faith and love, but he prays that it will grow. And Paul is confident that as Philemon grows in his understanding of all the good things that he particularly has in Christ, Philemon's love and faith toward the saints, including Onesimus, will grow as well. The same is true for us. The more we come to understand all the wonderful blessings that are ours in Christ, the more our increased love and faith for the Lord will ripple out to fellow believers, including those who have wronged us or are not easy to love. Do you know any fellow believers like that have wronged you or are hard to love? You know, I'm sure you do. There are some Christians, fellow believers, that you know that are hard to love, right? They've wronged you. Well, I'm praying that your faith and love will grow. And you need to do the same for me, because I certainly need to show more love and faith toward my fellow believers. Christians should pray to the Lord for the love and faith of fellow believers. In verse 7, we can sense Paul's confidence that Philemon's love for the saints will continue to grow, including his love for Onesimus. That's what Paul is praying for on the part of Philemon. Do we pray for fellow believers this way? Or do we just pray for fellow believers when they're sick or out of a job? Christians should pray to the Lord for the love and faith of fellow believers. What about practical application from this section of Philemon? Practical application number one. Do we love all the saints? Do we love all the saints? In verse 5, Paul commended Philemon for his love for all the saints. Let's read verse 5 once again. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Do we love all the saints? Even the saints that are hard to love. Do you know any saints like that? Now, we might think it was easy for Philemon to love all the saints. After all, this was the early church, and everyone was spiritual and on fire for the Lord, right? Not so. Read Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. There were Christians in that early church that had all kinds of problems. And the early churches were much more of a cross-section of society than your typical suburban church today. There were rich and poor, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, many cultural differences. It was not easy to love all the saints. And yet Philemon showed love to all the saints. Do we show love to all the saints? What about the saints that we don't naturally like? What about those saints who have gross eating habits at the church suppers? What about those saints who sing off key? What about those saints who don't see it our way concerning certain traditions? What about those saints who rub us the wrong way? On and on we could go. Do we follow the biblical role model of Philemon? Do we love all the saints? Good lesson for all of us, right? Good application. Do we love all the saints? Practical application number two. Are you a refresher or a refreshee? Are you a refresher or a refreshee? In verse 7, Paul tells Philemon that the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Could that be said of you? That the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother or sister. If so, praise the Lord. You are a refresher. We need more refreshers. That is, Christians who can encourage and lift the spirits of fellow believers. We need more refreshers because there are many refreshees around. Now, what's a refreshee? Not a referee, but a refreshee. Well, the word is not in the dictionary, but I think you can guess. It's a person who's on the receiving end of refreshment. It's the one who's getting refreshed. We have employers and employees. Well, we also have refreshers and refreshees. Which are you? Now, we all need to be refreshed at times. But some Christians never refresh others. They are the Christians that I'm calling refreshees here. I hope you're a refresher, because we have too many refreshees around. Refreshees take, but they don't give back. Refreshees are those Christians that are always down in the dumps. Their spirits always need to be lifted. They're always on the take. They're never giving. They're always refreshees, never refreshers. Do you know any fellow believers like that? Refreshees weigh heavily on the body of Christ. How much better to be a refresher like Philemon? Verse 7 once again. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Are you a refresher or a refreshee? Good lesson for all of us, isn't it? Are you a refresher or a refreshee?